Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your lovely, nasty, awful, adorable, sometimes adorable and cute video game ideas from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA titles. I'm one of your hosts, Blake Rea.
And I'm your other host, AJ Hart. Ooh. Let's go, baby. Ooh. We're gaming. We're podcasting. Ooh.
AJ, I have great news for you. I have news. I want to start today's episode on a really inspirational, positive note. And I just accomplished something that I wanted to share with the world. I wanted to share with you. Because I remember last time you were down in LA, you gave me Raz for it.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Tell me your incredible. I think I know what it is. Oh my God. Did you do it? Blake Rea, did you do it? Are you finally, finally not living like a fucking animal?
All right. There's a reason this is inspirational, because you know what? Hey, everybody at home, you know what? You might be going through it. You might be like, hey, my life's not moving as fast as I want it to be. I want to be accomplishing this or that, and I'm not there yet. Well, guess what? I'm a 28-year-old man about to be 29 in a few months, and I just bought myself a bed frame.
Let's go. Yes. Yes. You motherfucker. I'm telling on you. When I showed up to your house like 2-3 months ago to visit, I saw your bed frame on the floor, and I saw your, like, I come into your room and I see your incredible desktop setup, and your setup is right for your computer. And then I look over and I see your entertainment system, where you've got like perfect shelves that are built around the entertainment system, so nothing's jetting out too much, and all of your bookshelves or all of your books and movies are on display. And then I look at your bed, and it's just a mattress on the floor. And I look at you and I say, hey, man, you're like 30. Don't you think you should own a bed frame? And you looked me dead in the eyes and your ass was like, it's the Japanese style. You were like, well, you don't understand. No, no, no. This is trashy. No, no. This is a choice.
To my credit, I did buy a Japanese style bed. That it's a Japanese style futon that you have to like put up in the sun and air it out and use it as a futon. It was absolutely fantastic when I first got it. A year into using it, I put a fucking mattress topper on it, and now it is basically just a goddamn mattress on the floor. And I realized that you know what made me realize it? I was like, I was so fucking sick last week, and I was laying, and I was sitting, laying on my bed, and I could actually feel the hard, like, floor underneath my futon bed. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm an adult now. I have a fucking salary. I pay taxes, sadly. But you know what? I should have a fucking bed. I should invest in a bed. So I went like any responsible adult. I went to Amazon, read a couple reviews, and I got myself, a bed frame and an actual fucking mattress that weighs a horrible amount.
Yeah, mattresses are so heavy, dude. Fuck. It's crazy how heavy they are.
And I was like, to defend myself. Yes, I was sleeping on the fucking floor. And I also realized, hey, maybe if I want to like bring people over, maybe I should, I don't know, have like something that seems a little bit more purposeful.
It was only bizarre because it was obvious how much time you had dedicated to other parts in your room. It was like, ah, yes, my entertainment system. This is where I'll be spending a fair amount of time and experiencing the media I enjoy, relaxing to. Mm-hmm. My computer, yes, this is like how I interact with the world. This is how I interface with most of my friends, my colleagues, and my hobbies. Mm-hmm. It is important that it feels this way, looks this way, and is lit properly.
My bed.
I sleep sometimes. I don't know. I don't pay attention for those 8 hours a day. Fuck it.
Yeah, yeah. And all my pillowcases don't match, and my sheets don't match my blanket. And it's like if we were to analyze this, that would be like the id of my room. Like that is the that is the deepest. I think that's how I didn't take.
Yeah, no, the deepest, your most uncontrollable things, your id. Yeah, yes, absolutely. Id. Your bed is your id,
and it's just like you can. I would argue so that much.
Your the entertainment system is, of course, your ego.
Yeah, because...
And the computer system is your super ego, because that is, of course, the face you put on for the internet. Mm. And the reason why it looks so good is because you're filming it regularly for the internet.
Yeah, yeah. It is the ultimate face. Good lighting. But yeah, I just wanted to share that to everybody else at home who's probably sleeping on their floor as well. I mean, you're listening to this podcast.
Honestly, I do find it a little bit inspirational personally, because I'm sleeping on a camping cot currently.
Yeah, you're a living situation. It is... AJ, we got to get you all.
I don't want a bed currently.
Really?
Because like, what would I do with a whole bed and bed frame? I'm like going to put it all up and install it in the garage and then try to sell it in 2 months when I get to move out of the garage.
Oh, so you're just, okay. So this is just like a temporary, yeah.
Yeah. This is just a temporary system. For those that maybe I haven't spilled this much out, my partner's parent moved back into the house. And so this just, because the other rooms are all rented out, Jax and their mom are sharing this bedroom. But then I was removed. I've been displaced.
Well,
and so I'm set up in the garage for a little bit. And so I have like a little camping cot with like three sleeping bags thrown off onto the top, just to like give me like a good amount of cushion. And I gotta say, three sleeping bags deep and a camping cot, it's pretty comfy. I'm not gonna lie. It's some of the best sleep I think I might have had in a while.
Really? Well, that's surprising.
I also just really like sleeping bags. Like, back when I was in high school, I don't know if I told this much. When I was in high school, I didn't have blankets. I actually just had a big sleeping bag on my bed.
Hell yeah! College and was the Wild West.
No, this wasn't in college. This was in high school.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's...
In high school, I chose a sleeping bag because it was cozy.
It's Oregon, you know? Like, a camping culture is much more prominent. And, like, yeah, it's just...
It was also very cold in Oregon during the winter months.
Actually, you know what? this actually reminds me of something. I have a special love for sleeping bags, but only one specific kind that I would...
Oh, the mummy kind?
No. I hate the mummy kind. I feel like a sardine in that. No, my... Scott, my adoptive father, for those at home, who's like my best friend's dad. I've just known them for like since I was five. Long story. Anytime I would go camping, I would go over to their house and steal one of their sleeping bags because I loved it so much. It was like one of those sleeping bags where it didn't have any of like the plastic feeling fleece. It was like all cloth.
It's like that blankety one.
Yes.
The inside and outside?
In the inside and the outside. It was like a really tough canvas, which I love the feel of, by the way, on the outside. And then just a beautiful blanket feeling on the inside. And they had like two of them, and I remember always stealing those anytime I would go out and do camping or like do some sort of like, you know, backyard excursion or some shit like that. Sleeping bags, those kind, super fun. But I just wanted to mention that because like maybe you're at home, you got some goals that you're trying to hit, and you know, you're getting some hitting some roadblocks, having to sleep in a garage or something.
Or more specifically, maybe you're out there and you, like Blake, are 20-something with your mattress on the floor thinking to yourself, it's the Japanese style. No, it isn't. Go get a bed frame.
Okay, no, it is the Japanese style, but I found out the way what you need to do if you want to properly sell that, you need to get some sort of wooden plank that extends further than the edges of your bed. Oh, yeah,
no. If you had a bed pallet, I would have like been like, oh, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I did not.
I would have been like, whoa, dude, a bed pallet? That's sick. That's the Japanese style. But it was on the floor, r/ male living spaces style.
Yeah. just on a rug, on a fucking floor. And what made it even worse is like I still haven't put up like anything on the walls above my bed. So like you've seen it, like all the walls in my room like have shit on them, like either paint racks or like a bookshelf that goes up pretty up most of the way through the wall. Above my bed, nah, it's just a fucking AC unit and blank wall. Like no pieces of art, no nothing. And it just, think it just
But now
made
you have
it...
a bed frame there at least.
Yeah, it looks less sad.
Good. That's what's important, is that it doesn't look sad. Because you need that to be a place... Blake, you're a young bachelor. Yeah. You need that place to look exciting. You need your bed to look like Disneyland. If you're in the position where you're like, check this zone out, they should be like, ah, oh, whoa, I can't wait to be there.
Mm-hmm. If your bed, if your current bed in the garage was a ride at Disneyland, which ride would it be, AJ? Wait, have you been to Disneyland?
No, I haven't.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
Pirates of Disneyland ride? No, not Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean is dope and super cool. What's like the lamest ride at Disneyland?
I feel if you say any ride is lame at Disneyland, some Disney adult is gonna like send you death threats via the mail.
Is the Roger Rabbit Disneyland ride still around?
No, it's not. It's
Then my bet is the Roger Rabbit Disneyland ride.
That, I'm the Disney adult now. I'm the one who's gonna be sending you death threats. That fucking ride ruled.
I wouldn't know. That ride made my sister cry. Aww. And we had to leave line. So I think that ride sucks.
Wait.
I think it's lines decorations.
But you
said
you've never been to Disneyland.
I went there once when I was like 4 years old, maybe five, maybe six.
Oh, you were a fully formed
old
person
enough,
at that point.
I was old enough that I have two distinct memories, but young enough that both of those memories relate directly to my sister crying.
Oh, that sounds awful. Is that part of your id of like anytime you see a Disney adult on the side of the road, you have to like fist fight them?
Yeah, because I think that they made my sister sad.
Yeah, it's that exact person made your sister sad.
Blake, what about media? What about video games? Anything new? I know for the audience, they may not realize. It's been 2 days since our last recording.
It hasn't been 2 days. It's been like 3 days. No, it's been...
it's been 3 days. It's yeah, no, like we recorded Friday morning, didn't we?
I bought fucking Helldivers 2. And goddamn, does it rule? I texted
you. Are you hell diving?
I'm hell diving, AJ, and you need to hell dive with me so we could play it on the goddamn channel. Because, dude, it rules. It fucking rules. It is so much fun. It is... I love it. I could go on a huge tangent about this, but I love it because it is straight up a one of those pieces of media where it wears all of its influences so starkly on its sleeve. It like all of the Helldivers, are just like rips of like Halo ODST mixed with like Astra Militarum from Warhammer. You have there that are fighting Terminators, from like Terminator / like any robot movie. Also the Terminids are like a letter away from the Tyranids, which are the space bug from Warhammer.
I was going to say, isn't this game just... what if the Space Marines and Warhammer Space Marines were instead Starship Troopers?
I mean, sort of. Like, I mean, the Astra Militarum still exists, and they're pretty close to the Helldivers are pretty close in design and pretty close in function to the Astra Militarum, and it's wonderful. It is so fun. I went and watched my uncle play it, and for like 2 hours he was just telling me all of the lore and like all of like the behind the scenes developer shit that they were doing. There is a guy named Joel, and his whole job at the company is to play DM to the server of hundreds of thousands. And his...
that rules.
Yes, that's his whole job, is like, oh, these people are kind of like fighting back and winning this war. How can I change up the state, the literal state of in-game universe narrative to combat that or like enrich the player experience? There's absolutely no in-game purchases. It's all in-game economy. So, like, you have to play the game to earn shit. And what's even fucking neater is, like, the gear unlocks are communal. So, like, technology trees are communal. So, Joel will present players with, hey, you have 1 week. And to defend, to pick one of these three planets and defend it. And depending on which one you pick, it will unlock a different piece of technology. And that becomes a game of fucking chicken where it's like, oh, I don't want just one piece of gear. I want all of these gears. So the community will get together on Discord and communicate and coordinate and figure out ways to defend all three planets or two out of the three planets or whatever and unlock those two new pieces of gear or those two, like, and these pieces of gear can be anything from a new type of weapon to, like, to be drones or mech suits or, like, robots or just different mortar setups or turrets, things like that. It is absolutely fascinating. And AJ, I want to ask you a question because it blew my fucking mind when I found out. How big of a team do you think is at Helldivers?
For Helldivers 2, so I know that the original Helldivers was a pretty small team. I want to say that their staff was probably it was under 100. I want to say, like, at best, the Helldivers studio when they picked up Helldivers 2 was 47.
100 people. Only 100 people work on Helldivers 2, and everything has been thought of. It is so fucking crazy how much detail there is in character customization and loadout building and, like, just the thought put into, like, the littlest things. It just makes you think of, like, what the fuck are the 3,000 people at Treyarch doing for every Call of Duty game? It's just, it's incredible to me what this small team of 100 has been able to do. Of course, they had a lot of time, you know, they definitely, I think it was like 8 years or something between Helldivers games. So there was,
I don't think it was that long.
Really? I thought it was like six or eight years.
Was it six? It couldn't have been that long.
Helldivers 1 was released 2015. Wow. And that was like a completely different style of game. That was like
it was a top down shooter. Yeah. It was a top down twin stick shooter.
God, hell yeah.
9 years. I guess that makes sense. Yeah, nine years.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, 9 years. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know if they started development right after 2015, even though it is like a direct sequel or whatever. But it is just, it blows my mind. The ability, it is one of those things of media where it's just beautiful to see, like, what a small team is able of accomplishing. With just, like, passion and love and, like, just a clear desire to just be like, hey, this is the fucking game we want to make and we're going to make it the way that we want. It's just brilliant. Really beautiful. That's what I'm playing.
Let's talk about video games.
Yeah? All right. What kind of video games do we want to talk about? Bad ones? Good ones? Adorable ones? Silly ones?
How about bad ones? How about one like this? This submission comes from Gaz at Just Gazer. I've been playing Horizon Forbidden West.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make a game about being the AI that restored the biosphere in a terraforming Mars-style sim. Create bots, set tasks, monitor outcomes. It took her 1,000-plus years and several attempts. Can you do better? Oh. I love this idea of a roguelike city builder.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I think the part that really nailed me is it took her 1,000 plus years and several attempts. Can you do better?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, like, a city building game where in the top right it's like, here's how long the last person took to make a city. Mm-hmm. And your goal is to do city building, little city maintenance, and you have to do it as fast as you can. Build it quick and let it break.
Oh.
Or don't let it break.
So it's like...
like a city manager that, like, is one of those, like, Factorio or Satisfactory games,
yeah,
where you're just
trying
to make your own little city.
You don't get to think about it, which is like a core mechanic of those games is like, oh,
you
get to project and be like, I'm ready to spend 14 hours working on this one conveyor belt system to make it work as optimal as possible. All right,
the last player made a grossing economy of $2 billion in 16 turns. Can you do better?
Interesting. Okay. So let's look at the previous player before we talk about the current player.
Okay. What caused their game to end?
That's,
what a good question.
I'm wondering, is it like it the thing that stands out to me is you're trying to, when you're doing like a city builder or a city sim, you're trying to make it self-sufficient, what is your game end if your city runs out of like
maybe what out of
funds
is,
or something, and you're brought in to pick it up?
What if you have a certain amount of time? You have as much time as the thing gives you, and it'll be.
I have something.
Says you have 16 turns. Mm-hmm. You have 16 turns to make something, and then once you hit that 16 turns, the simulation will then go from there, and it will run a simulation to see how far and what success points you get, and then you will be able to pick a success point and the time it took you to make something.
I like this, but I think I don't think
you got something else.
I think I want to build on it, but the thing that to me it sounds that just sounds like cool. It doesn't sound like it has some stank or is like
it doesn't sound stinky. Yeah, hit me with some stank.
So when you stink when this. You first boot up this game, you are given an open world to do with whatever you please. You are given some sort of ominous message, all like the Frostpunk, where there's a storm coming. There's something on the horizon in 20 days, and you need to do XYZ to survive it. Most people will not survive that first thing. That city then becomes given to another player upon losing their game. So it's like you are constantly picking up where previous people left off. So I build my thing. I lose. I did not survive the storm. It goes to you, who's on your second playthrough. And now you have to continue on where I left off in my city and try and make sense of all the crazy fucking systems I was in the middle of doing.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I can't imagine picking up somebody else's Victoria or like that, I can't even process picking up somebody else's Minecraft city sometimes.
But here's the thing. You don't get it forever. You now have 20 days to figure out how to get this system up in order.
Yeah. And you don't get to know what caused the failure.
Yes.
You get 20 days to look at this town and say, well, what's wrong with it?
Oh.
Find out why it didn't work and then find a way to fix it.
Okay, let me pitch you on this. Let's say this is on some alien planet and that has like completely just buckshit wild weather. So you can look at the evidence and be like, okay, during day 20, the thing that killed the previous player was that the sound froze over. That tells me maybe I should start building up some of like the anti-freezing things. And then you build up all the anti-freezing
things. But it took you 5 days to figure out like, oh my God, wait a minute. The heaters aren't working in here. What happened?
Yes, yes. Something like that. Because there's like every 20 days or every whatever cycle, there is some catastrophic piece of weather that happens or some sort of like social thing.
One of like 16 horrible moments.
Yeah. And like the joy of the game comes from you took over somebody else's thing and you got this far with it versus like a person who just boots it up, did not survive the 20 days. Well, that fucking sucks. But guess what? Now you get to try your hand at somebody else's like build. And the cool thing about this, AJ, is like there's going to be a diminishing amount of people starting from like level one. So the longer this game goes on, the more complex
the bigger
the systems, the bigger the towns, the bigger, more fucking frustrating and scary like the systems in place are. So
you could hit a point where you spend 20 days and you're just looking around, 20 in-game days, and you're just looking around at what was created.
Yeah,
you didn't even have any time to improve anything.
Yeah, you're just walking around looking at all the different oil pipes and being like, I don't understand the system.
But then that gives you the opportunity to be like, well, I don't think that I can do anything major to change it. I guess I'll just increase this one oil pipe.
Or what I think, because this is very much influenced by just the beauty that is the Helldivers 2 community, is like imagine a Discord or some sort of group starts for this game where they're like, all right, here are the universal things that we're all trying to do to help one another. We know on this planet, water is like the ultimate resource. We need to make sure anytime you log into a new level, get the water up and running so the next person, when you inevitably die, because this game's hard as shit, is set up so it betters their chance. So it comes up with like almost like universal languages or universal obligations.
I loved the missed connections that you can find. You would see posts going online where people are like, hey man, what the fuck is your conveyor belt system? And it would just be a post of like a photo of some conveyor belt system. And then like somebody in the internet would be like, yo, I know that horrible spider web. That was mine. I'm so sorry. I was so drunk while playing this video game.
Oh my God, you can see like
I completely hosed you.
There has to be some way that there has to be some way that every time a player logs into it, they have some sort of permanent mark. Like maybe you walk into the town hall or something, and then like there you can see the previous mayors of the whole thing. And you can kind of like, that's part of
a list of previous mayors would be so good.
Yeah. And it has like that thing of like, like playtime. Because you don't want to give away exactly how they died, because that would kind of give away what the problem, like what problem.
But you would see how long they got to live in this town.
Yes. Like, and then maybe there's some other statistics of like average length of life or like average cause of death or something, something that doesn't like give it away directly. Or like average problems or something. Or how about this, AJ? I can give you one thing even fucking better to make this sell this weird community thing. Every person, when they log into a new world or given a new world, they are given one page of a diary in the town hall to write whatever they want.
They get to put down a note. They get to leave one note to the next player.
And it's all in this one book that a person can read. Oh, okay.
I love this, and there's no other notes. Blake, we have to put a pin in this already because we could go on forever. This game rules.
This one, and let me know if this is a little bit too serious. This one comes to us on Reddit from Rita Astronaut. Funkle Sam, a game to get the youths excited about the upcoming draft.
You really are in a Helldivers mood, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, I didn't even think about that. Holy shit, it is like Dial F for Freedom. I saw this and I'm like, huh. It made me think about all my desires for the military. I don't think I ever told you about this, but I thought about joining the Navy when I was very young.
Hell yeah, it seemed cool as hell. You get to sit on a boat and you get a cool jacket and a hat.
Sit, look at the ocean. I don't know. Like the older I get, the more I'm like, maybe a life on the sea is the life for me. You know, just drop all just technology.
Leave it all. Dude, we could leave it all. Just leave it all. We could just go
we
on
could
a boat.
Leave it all. I can just relive the events of The Terror by Dan Simmons.
It could just be you, me, a boat, and the only thing we would ever have to worry about is the temperament of that big blue ocean of ours.
Mm-hmm. And how many pickles we have in the ration storage. Are you like old pickles or new pickles guy? I'm an old pickles guy.
I love me an old pickle. But you know what? A new pickle has its charm.
Really? It tastes awful. It tastes extra crispy. It tastes like cucumber.
Yeah, cucumbers are nice.
It's a day away from cucumber. I mean, actually, cucumbers are pretty nice.
See?
Takes me back to my soup plantation days. All right. I want to make a game
would
convince young
Sweet tomatoes, people. My beloved. I miss you so much.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, I remember getting the salads and just loading it up with cucumbers and deviled eggs.
So many goddamn croutons I ate at Sweet Tomatoes.
AJ, what if we made somehow integrated Soup Plantation / Sweet Tomatoes into this Funkle Sam game?
Okay, let's think on it. First and foremost, we need to take Uncle Sam, and we need to make him Funkle Sam. We need to make him cool and fun and enjoyable. We need to turn him into the Colonel Sanders of political cartoons.
I was thinking you just turn him into the Chef Boyardee chef, and then that's our cooking mascot. Yeah, he's Funkle Sam on a fucking can of croutons and old pickles. Yeah.
No, I'm not even thinking about restaurants. No, I'm still going back to Funkle Sam and trying to make Uncle Sam cool. I'll worry about the Sloop Plantation
AJ, I hate to break it to you. I hate to break it to you, and I never thought I'd have to say this, but Uncle Sam is still cool. But he's just cool to the people. He's just cool to the people we don't like.
Okay. How do we make him cool for the people we do like? How do you feel
cool
about this?
Cool for the lib heads, the West Coasters.
How far do we think a pair of shutter shades will go?
No, if we're going to make Uncle Sam cool, he needs to be like drinking Mexican Cokes and longboarding on Venice Beach.
Like, okay, he's got, yes. He's You're got thinking a, like, a, he, like a late millennial cool.
Yeah, like Uncle Sam. Like,
he's got one of those like five panel hats that fits on his head just a little bit too short.
And you can still kind of see that early, that late 20s receding hairline starting to show.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like how those five panel hats, they just don't go down on someone's head enough. It does yeah, kind of look like you're wearing a children's hat.
Yes, it is very awkward, and I don't understand why that's the style.
I'm sure it's conscious. Yeah, like it's old. It is a fashionable thing. It's just that like every time I think about it, I'm like, man, it would make my head look so fat.
It actually, wait a second, I realize why they do that. There are more people doing designs that include fades where you get like the little etched designs.
Oh, yeah, and you'd be able to see the fade with the little hat that doesn't cover your whole head. Okay, that tracks.
Yeah, and then because there are like also those people who do like the cool like drawings
like
on the side
cool
of their head.
Like they put a cool S in their hair.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the reason why for people like that.
That's a good reason. Like, hey, good job, good detective work.
I you know what? That's what they say about me.
So Uncle Sam's gonna have a fade, and his is gonna have USA shaved into it, and he has one of those hats that's just a little bit too small for his head.
Okay.
What do we do about his beard stitch? Does he keep the whole beard?
He keeps the beard. That's such a millennial thing.
Can he
like
put?
Millennials
can he
fucking
do anything
love beards.
With it?
He's got to put wax in it, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he twists the mustache up.
Can we get rid of the goatee and just give him a full beard? Because I think that's the problem. Is that it looks like a big handle for him and his chin, and I think that's bad.
100%. I think he's got to have like a full. He's got to have a full beard. Nothing says freedom like letting it all out.
Oh my AJ, god, that's good. You should get into political cartoons.
Nothing, what?
Nothing says freedom like letting it all hang out. And then it's a photo of me, and I'm like it has that text over me in a chair, and then you
and
see my bare legs, and you can't quite tell because the text is
in
the way.
Oh, that's so good, actually.
Nothing says freedom like letting it all hang out.
But we see... We see people's reaction through your legs, though.
And everyone's like cheering. They're like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, everybody's fucking losing their shit.
Anyway, maybe this is a poster for Funkle Sam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It is for Funkle Sam. So we're supposed to get people excited about the draft.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
It's draft season, baby. Have you considered a Draft Kings promotion?
A draft
I got
Kings
it.
Promotion. Also, AJ, I think should be on this. You know, the draft is not referring to football draft. It's referring to military draft, right?
You're right. But this is why the DraftKings promotion is so clever. Everybody loves sports. And sports gambling, everybody also loves. Based on the fact that over the last 4 years, my dad has made a DraftKings account and now talks to me about gambling more than he ever has in his life.
Yeah.
This is a good thing for sports, I'm sure.
Is he getting you good inheritance or blowing it?
He owns two properties in Oregon, so I'm probably getting okay inheritance. The problem is my dad is super young and super healthy, so like if he keeps this up, I'm dying before he does, and that's not really helpful to either of us.
You know, you still got your sister. You know, she'll live comfy.
Yeah, Claire's gonna be so good. Here's my thought: is you DraftKings, you get to place bets on when your friends are getting drafted.
Really? What
yes.
the fuck?
What? No,
that's
this is my new collaboration idea. No,
oh,
that's not what DraftKings is for. Oh my god, no.
Okay.
No, DraftKings is for DraftKings is for
your
sports
segue
gambling.
Your segue had me so scared. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean
no,
somebody
no, no,
could
no, no,
make
DraftKings,
money
DraftKings
on me getting
is,
drafted?
DraftKings is sports betting. But oh, we will do God. A collaboration with Funkle Sam, and Funkle Sam will take over DraftKings for a little bit, and then you will be able to place bets on when your friends get drafted, where they get drafted to, and how long they last.
Oh, no. If they make it through boot, if they make it – if what place they get drafted to, the Army, the Navy, the Air
Exactly.
Force.
Exactly.
Oh, that's going to be
and
fucked up. Because
kids love
then, like,
gambling.
Yeah, kids do love gambling. I've seen Candy Crush. I've seen
Candy Crush. I've seen gacha games. I've seen CSGO lobbies and websites.
Is that – do Gen Zers like gambling?
Yes, like, dude, it is like an epidemic. Children are so gambling – so prone to gambling because of how
really?
Much – because like so much of children's stuff, Roblox, CSGO – etc. gacha games have like mm-hmm. put themselves in front of kids to make kids think that like it's just sort of a normal thing to do. And so
good.
Like,
that makes game designers like us, it gives us a good environment to thrive. So AJ, let's make a game for kids.
This is for Funkle Sam. So and it's the draft. So we Sam. Know that so, we're going to be like aiming at like that prime 16 to 18 market, right? Like,
yeah, so who's getting drafted at 18?
Just yeah. old enough that we can swear in front of them. So it's
can
cool.
Can you be drafted at 16?
No.
Yeah, you can only get drafted at 18.
18,
I thought.
Yeah, but I think 16-year-olds will also be placing bets.
How wild is it that you can only get drafted? I think up until like the first level of drafting. Of course, they make exceptions in great times of war, but I think like the draft is like up to age 29, and I'm like, the difference between 29 and 30 is so negligible. Not that I'm endorsing the draft or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you just
unless,
think that,
unless
like,
it's for
I understand.
A game.
Like, you're right. Yeah, you're running just, out of time just, to get drafted. And what a cool story that would be.
What a weird... No. No, just like, I just think that's... It's just one of those peculiarities of like, who decided the age 29 is like, nah, this is too old.
I can assure you it was someone who was 28. It was some guy with a birthday next month.
You know what? It's probably also like during the time when people lived to be like 50, and that was like, oh man,
split
nah,
it
you
right
gotta,
down the middle.
Get,
yeah,
you gotta get yeah down the middle. You gotta. So Funkle Sam, he vapes. He's all about getting people
he
hyped.
Vapes, he
about...
longboards and he loves gambling.
Yes, and
hey,
if
Funkle
you...
Sam does sound like my uncle a little bit.
You know, he sounds like a lot of people's uncle. He actually sounds like a lot of people I know here in LA, actually. So he'll fit right in. He drinks designer coffee. And then you bet. So what is what are is this is that it? Is it just a collab? The Funkle Sam.
I think that's it. I think that we all honestly just with that, I think we really gave Uncle Sam the facelift he's been needing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Do you okay? Because I gave kind of a small game this week. Do you want me to give another game, or do you want to?
Yeah,
give,
hit me another one. I'll try not to knock it out of the park within 5 minutes again. But I will warn you, I'm kind of on fire today.
All right, all right, all right. I want to. This isn't so much a game, but it reminded me of a really fucked up story.
Okay.
And I was wondering if like I could turn this into some sort of like just bad game, bad experience. This one comes to us from on Twitter from Caleb. Please buy art from our friends Martin. Frisbee hockey. That's it. That's the whole submission.
Yes.
They just say frisbee hockey. AJ, have I ever told you about the time I went and did frisbee hockey with my family?
Tell me about frisbee hockey with your family.
So we played frisbee hockey, little thing. We didn't have the right frisbees. We just brought regular frisbees. Turns out you can't use regular frisbees in frisbee hockey.
Okay, hold on. Frisbee hockey a real thing?
I was going to say, hold on. My brain just completely broke. I was reading, wow, my brain broke. I was reading frisbee hockey as frisbee golf. I did do frisbee golf, not frisbee hockey. Let's delete this. All right, AJ.
No, you're not getting past this. You read frisbee hockey and you thought, yeah, that's just golf.
I forgot hockey was a separate
thing.
Your
ass was so confident. I had to Google frisbee
hockey. Because I'm traumatized. I had such an awful experience playing frisbee golf. It was awful.
That's
terrible.
Not true. Frisbee golf is one of the best sports you can play. It is so good for drinking and hiking at the same time.
It is not the sport. It's not the sport that traumatized me. It was the circumstances in which I experienced while frisbee golfing. So I'm frisbee golfing with my lovely mother, my dear mother Catherine, and we are and my brother and my brother's wife and my father. That's unimportant. My mother, my dear mother, she looks over and she sees a squirrel and she's like, "Aw, look, there's two squirrels over there. They're adorable. They're hugging each other. Like, what? It must be a mom
they
and
were
their
not
kid
hugging,
or something."
Were they?
And we're all like, "Oh, that's adorable, Catherine. Look at it." And then we all kind of just have this dawning realization, "Oh no, that squirrel is eating the other squirrel."
It's what?
It's eating the other squirrel, AJ.
Squirrels don't do that.
Squirrels don't do that, but this one did.
What?
It was eating the other squirrel. And it was
you
the
saw
most,
a cannibalistic squirrel?
I saw cannibalistic squirrels, and I didn't know they did that. It was terrifying.
That's because they
it
don't.
Was,
what are you talking about?
No, AJ, why the fuck would I lie about this? It was a goddamn squirrel.
For attention on
there.
The internet. What do you mean?
No, it was 15 fucking feet away from me, and I saw I was eating the head of another fucking squirrel. It was terrifying. It was awful. It was really bad, dude.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was traumatizing as fuck. And I'm kind of pitching in a game where it's like every hole you're just introduced to some other strange horror oddity. A horror frisbee golf game sounds fucking fantastic.
It does.
By the
Could
way.
You imagine trying to do frisbee golf and Slenderman is there? Because like you have to do so much repositioning and looking around during frisbee golf to make sure you get a good line. But
or
like
you're just
the
like,
whole time Slenderman's trying to get you, that would suck.
Yeah, and you do it with like dumb fucking PS2 graphics, which by the way, that's my favorite genre of video games to come out lately is just like
PS2
horror games
graphic.
but done with PS2 graphics. Markiplier has completely rotted my brain with that stuff.
There's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones. Like Iron Lung, fantastic. Fantastic game. A Sociopath, love it. Fantastic. But do we want to try the horror frisbee golf game?
No, I
or
think
do we
we're
want to
good.
Try our hands
I think
at frisbee
I want to double back and look at our nug, actually.
Oh, you don't want to actually talk about frisbee hockey? I was just thinking it's a game where you just literally are throwing, you have a frisbee in the center of you and you need to like throw a frisbee at the frisbee to knock it back and forth between people. So you're using frisbees to hit other frisbees.
That
which
sounds
is like my
so wildly accurate. My immediate thought was just frisbee golf, but with all of the raw anger that comes out of hockey. Hockey is a very angry sport. Hockey is such an angry sport that there's a special term for when more than two people are put in baby jail.
Yeah.
Hockey is the kind of game that is so violent that there is an active baby jail that players are thrown in and out of for being a fussy baby that started fights. Like they don't even stop the play of the game to put a player in baby jail for starting a fight.
Nope.
They're just like, "Hey, that was a fight really quick. We got to throw him into jail." And they get put into jail, and then they sit there for 30 seconds. But there's a special term for when one team has more than two people in fussy baby jail. I don't remember the actual term for the box that they put the hockey players into.
It's the – I believe it's called the
– It is called the fussy baby jail?
I thought it was the foul box or like foul
– Penalty
area.
Box.
Penalty box.
I
like
fussy
yes.
baby jail a lot more.
That's better. Much better.
I mean, that's what
AJ,
it is,
you left
right?
Out, yeah. It's like, here's the thing. I think of it differently because I love the idea of hockey just being like, all right, let's just have a sport where you can be violent.
Let's just have a sport where you are allowed to punch.
Yeah, I think there is realm in the world. There's room in the world for sports like that. I think it is hilarious to me. I don't know if you knew this, but you are legally allowed to fight until you hit the ground. The moment you hit the ground, did you know that? Yeah, you're allowed to fight until somebody hits the ground, and then you need to stop. If I am remembering correctly, you are allowed to do that. And I think you can only fight for. It's like you. That's the reason people get put in the penalty box is because they fight too long.
I googled it. Are you allowed to punch in hockey? And the rule says fighting has been part of the NHL for 100 years. It is not penalized as it would be in other sports. It is against the rules, but not totally forbidden.
So if they wanted to, so it's up to the ref's discretion. But they know that's part of the charm, you know. I love that. Love that. So you want to do we're on ice but everybody can fucking throw haymakers.
That's normal hockey already.
But with
I was imagining that if frisbee hockey would just be like frisbee golf, again, all the joy and pleasure of walking around with a little drink in your hand while doing a casual sport, except you are allowed to just slug each other.
What if we did It is frisbee hockey, but instead of pucks and hockey sticks, you have rock'em sock'em bop. You have what?
Sock'em boppers?
One member of your team has sock'em boppers, and they are the brawler of your team.
They're allowed to do punchies.
And then everybody else is trying to throw the frisbee and get it into the goal.
I like that.
But they have
to
fucking dodge the rock'em sock'em people who like
so it's not so much frisbee hockey of like the sport of hockey, just like the punching of hockey, which is of course part of the sport of hockey.
Or how about this, if we're gonna go, I maybe we take it back, maybe we drop the ice skating element of this and I throw you one more curveball before we do the nug. Instead of this being on ice and people are using ice skates, every player is using moon shoes, while one person on each team is using moon shoes and sock'em boppers. And you have to play frisbee like that. And you have to get the frisbee all a Quidditch style to the your opponent's goal and throw it in.
I love this.
It's a monster. I love it. I love what we have created.
Blake, let's talk about our real game.
All right, what's our real game? I think it's the game you pitched. It's the one that we had to put a pin in.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Let's talk about tactile feel. I loved the sense of discovery in this game. And so while I was imagining something that was like top down at first, I think that walking around the town and trying to investigate what failures happened and what things broke is much more engaging and captures the vibe of like that level of discovery that we want to have. So imagining something first-person visual, like what was the space one? Something Skies?
Skyscraper Tycoon or something?
No. This one where you go to space, No Man's Sky. I'm imagining something visually closer to No Man's Sky than I am like a Tycoon game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So like a first-person technical thing. Also, another good one is Satisfactory is kind of similar in that regard, where it's like a first person like factory. I mean, I think Satisfactory might be. We take like the alien world aesthetic of No Man's Sky, but slap Satisfactory's like sort of build on it.
I never played No Man's Sky. I just know it as like a game that had a bunch of like construction stuff. I'm kind of imagining the construction of the game and like building out a settlement or like a little building or something would feel like, and I mean this in a kind way. Do you remember how frustrating and kind of bad the settlement system was in Fallout 4?
Just in time for the Fallout show and the remaster of Fallout 4. Yes, I remember how bad it was. I did not like it.
What if this game felt like that?
I think it's too simple, though. You need to think of this is just not, this doesn't need to be accessible to the player that's starting, but it needs to be accessible to like the 19th or 20th person to play in that level. And there needs to be like a like an amount of customability.
See, that's why I think that the Fallout one would work, is because like there's a bunch of like different menus and things that you can like unlock to build walls, to build settlements, to build stairs.
But it's roughly, but it's all roughly the same though.
Deep of adding in conveyor belts and 19 people deep of adding in walls and buildings and little houses.
I think you need to look at this. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm going to pull this out of my fucking old ass pocket. Minecraft Tekkit. Do you remember that?
No. Tekkit?
Minecraft Tekkit. I can hear over the radio waves people's eyes going wide. There was this group of mods for Minecraft that was all about making Minecraft as complex as a crafting world as possible, where you can build like gigantic fabricators and factories and nuclear machines and nuclear factories. But what I'm getting at is we need to make this like you need to craft things or work on projects that you know will take longer than the 20 days you have to build that level of complexity. So you could be, and this could become to the detriment of the person behind you. You say you have a nuclear reactor going and you have like, you need to make sure it's fueled every day or make sure the coolant is going or else it's going to have a fucking meltdown. Guess what? You died. And now your reactor is just live, and the person that spawns in after you might not even know it exists, depending on how complex your facility is, how shitty your layout is. So there's this level of like, you could be, and then guess what? After that nuclear thing goes off, the person that comes in after them is like, oh fuck, did a nuclear bomb go off? What happened? And now they need to piece together the mystery of like, this literally hole in the ground where that got nuked. So I feel like there's just such a realm of like discovering story or like figuring out like, imagine like it's something that I think about. This reminds me a lot of like the diaries of lighthouse keepers that went missing or died or whatever. You just have these hyper detailed like journal entries leading up, and then you kind of get a sense of like that person is like either slipping mentally or like they're mentioning that the weather's getting worse and then the diary just stops. Imagine that, but every time you log in to a new world where it's like, hey, I have the reactor. I'm about to run out of fuel and I'm going out further than I've ever been to go hunt for uranium or something to give it new fuel or something that'll prevent the meltdown. And that's their last entry. And you figure, oh, they must have died like, out in the woods.
Okay, so they get one entry per day.
Maybe one entry per day or like maybe not. Yeah, I think that might be good because then
every player gets the story. Can I offer you this one entry per week? Every time a player is able to be in the in-game world for a whole week without dying, they get to put another page of notes down.
Yes. And I love that because now we have like it's enough writing to tell a story, but not enough writing to where the person that's actively playing, they have to spend hours and hours and hours reading all of the previous entries to like going back to the very first person, you know, who logged in and they writing their first journal entry before they understood the game or something like that. The second thing that blows that if somebody was really fucking cool, they can do like a Mother Horse Eyes situation. Are you familiar? Did you watch the Mother Horse Eyes Down the Rabbit Hole doc? Mother Horse Eyes?
Who's that?
They're a horror fiction writer on Reddit. Basically what they did was they would write like a chapter of a book or like a page from a chapter and then just post it on a random Reddit page that has nothing to do with the topic.
Oh, that's fine.
And they, yeah. And that's how they wrote their book. And people would like go and like search through random Reddit pages to find this book. And it became this whole big thing. I think it was like in 2016, 2017. Really fascinating. Imagine if somebody fucking created a narrative in our game where they log in and like their diary or their character is like, you have to see their journey through like all of the different worlds they spawn into. Maybe they do like some sort of quantum leap sort of thing where it's the same person, but different bodies or different lives that they're living or inhabiting for a short period of time. I think you could just get absolutely wet and wild with like the storytelling abilities of this game.
I love it. Blake,
I love it.
Blake, this
I love
is the
it.
Game. Now we just need to think of a name.
We need to think of a name. So it's a city sim builder. I love the idea of quantum somewhere in there, because the idea is like you are picking up where somebody left off. So there is like a some sort of pseudo narrative where you are waking up in somebody else's body or waking up in somebody else's world after after you're done, after you die in your previous world. And then like, oh my God, you know what? Another thing we didn't even talk about. What if one day you come back to a world you were in already? Like if there was like some wild fucking chance that you spawn back into like a world you worked on, like however many lifetimes ago, and you recognize it. Like how, oh, that'd be so cool.
Hey, can I propose this name for you?
Mm.
Quantum toponymic. Quantum toponymic? It might be Nimic. Quantum toponymic. Toponymic is the term relating to naming geography.
Oh.
Like so topography.
Like, yeah. So what is the difference between topography and toponometry?
Toponymic is the idea of like it specifically putting names and language to those named geographic points. Topography is like the elevation of a geographic point.
So, I'm trying to figure out like that means like our game is so. I guess yeah, because it's like
because you are going to be building those towns. You will be building those streets. You will be naming those streets. You will be naming those towns.
Oh,
quantum toponymic.
Let me pitch you on this: is like the town will always keep the name, and that's kind of like the level, like the impact of like when something is named. It will keep that name forever.
Yes.
So, like, I spawn in your town after you die or whatever. All of these streets you named, I can't change those.
Correct.
I can only expand and add new streets or new buildings or new memorials or new plaques or whatever. So what quantum toponymic?
Quantum toponymic.
Toponymic. How do you spell toponymic?
TOPONYMIC.
Toponym. Quantum toponym.
We could also do quantum toponymy.
Place name.
Quantum toponymy is pretty good.
Quantum toponymy. It sounds a little too goofy. I kind of like quantum sound goofy. Toponym. You like you know what? It's your submission. I think
it's quantum toponymy.
Quantum toponymy. All right. Let's go to patch notes.
Let's go to patch notes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. This week, Blake and I have a request for you. Keep an eye out on Thursday. Keep an eye out, dear listener, to our channels for Thursday. Because this Thursday, Blake and I are going to be making another submission request post. Yes. And whatever you think about, hit us with it. I want to see submissions left, right, and center.
Because I'll be real with y'all. We are a couple years into this podcast, and you know what? We are noticing that some of the submissions have been kind of going down, and we want to get those submissions back up because as long as we keep getting submissions, this podcast is going to keep going. AJ and I are nowhere near done, but we need those submissions. So hit us with the best you got.
As always, the intro and outro is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been one of your hosts, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.